Broadcasting from KUCR Studios in UC Riverside, this is the Highlander Newsroom. I'm your host, Crystal Mims, joined today by...
Nathan Swift, the Arts and Entertainment Editor.
And Joseph Avila, the newly appointed Assistant News Editor.
Welcome to the newsroom, you guys, the people behind the paper. Today we're going to be talking about tuition hike delays and comedy apocalypse, as well as the hummus problem, I guess, we're having on campus. So let's start off talking about the fact that the tuition hike was delayed. What do you guys think about that?
I think in the article it said the freeze is still in place, correct, at 12,192, but it said it's the raise is still going on for other UCs, but not UCR, correct?
Right. So the cap is still, they're capping enrollment, I guess, for non-residents at UCLA and UC Berkeley, but not at UCR.
Yeah. So I'm at least happy that's not happening here. like you know, it does make sense because we are one of these smaller, you know, UC campuses, you know, if not like probably the second smallest. Yeah. What do you think about this, Joe?
Yeah, I think it's nice for 2 years, but I'm wondering what's going to happen after those 2 years, because 2 years, I think nowadays we could go from being, you know, a lot of things can change in 2 years, so... It's good for now, but I think that we should wait for another, you know, for two years to pass before we actually can judge whether or not this is going to be effective for people.
Right.
I think, too, that in the article where they talk a lot about it's good, but also there's money being allocated to certain things like expansion of class enrollments and stuff like that. But one of the things that people reiterated in the article was there's not money going towards like access and nothing has changed at this point in regards to enrollment. I think that's really important that we focus on that because enrollment in higher education, especially for residents of California, is really important, especially in the Latino population. I know that there's something like it's risen, the Latino admissions rate has barely risen less than 2%, but since 1994, but applications have risen 350%, and that's really, you know, it's a really, really big problem. And I really would like to see more attention paid to that at least.
I'm a little happy that it's not hitting us, or at least not hitting us first, because off the top of my head, was it 30 or 40% of our students are like non-residents or commuting? I touched the mic. So yeah, like if that hit us at least, especially since we have 20-something thousand student population, that would certainly hurt us in the future. So I don't know the numbers off the top of my head for. Was UCLA and Berkeley for their non-residents, but that's definitely going to hurt the UC, you know, at least like the system as a whole for a lot of like, you know, out of state or even international students who come to like this prestigious, you know, system for their education.
Right. Yeah, it's really hard to, of course, I know a lot of people are going to be happy. Like, even myself, I'm a second year, so I was like, 2 years, like, that's perfect, you know? But it's really hard to say how it's going to impact people later. I was just thinking about, like, I have a little brother. He's a senior now. He's graduating. And, you know, it's going to impact him later. It's going to impact a lot of people. So it's just hard to say, you know?
Yeah, but we can look on the bright side a little because... 436 million. Oh my gosh. Like that was given, you know, over a 3 year, you know, plan. And I think back in November, Napolitano was asking for 200 or 220 million and Jerry Brown basically said, "Oh, you know, it's not exactly the state's responsibility to give, you know, all the money needed for the school system, but here's, you know, 100 million." And so that's one of the reasons why Napolitano wanted to stick with this plan. And I think this was mentioned earlier. I think earlier in this quarter when I was on, we mentioned this was like a game of political chicken, between Napolitano and Jerry Brown. So mm-hmm. I'm glad they've kind of put the brakes on that, you know, if the metaphor sticks, and have come to some sort of an agreement.
Yeah, because I know a lot of people were saying, you know, Napolitano was kind of using the students and kind of like throwing us all out there just to prove a point. Do you guys think now with this delay, she's kind of, I guess, done what she said she was going to do? Or do you think...
It's hard. I mean, in terms of getting the money needed, they agreed to, you know, 430-something million. So she at least not only reached, but, like, matched and, like, went way past her goals. So at least there's that. But, you know, it's hard to, you know, keep the emotions out of it, you know, because I think we mentioned in the article, like, we quote a student saying we don't like how we're, like, political cows for them. So, you know, it is a little disheartening knowing that it took them that long.
Yeah,
I agree. I mean, it's gonna be hard to gauge whether or not she's gonna do, like, you know, exactly what she said she was gonna do. I mean, she still comes from a background of being, like, she was a political figure, so obviously politics is going to be involved. I'm sure she's very she knows about the problems, because there was a lot of protests, as the article states as well. There were a lot of protests that were going on, and I feel like maybe that contributed to the decision to do this. But you can never really tell for sure.
Yeah, and that's actually a good point, because, you know, remember, she used to be the former secretary for the
Homeland Security.
For Homeland Security, you know, for that federal department. So, you know, like in a way, it is disheartening that, you know, we are kind of being played off a little bit, you know, in game of chicken, political cows, chess, whatever metaphor you want to throw out there. But on the other hand, you know, it's like we got, you know, a career bureaucrat, a career politician into this, you know, position of power. It's like, you know, I don't want to say we got what we asked for, but, you know, we did kind of get what we were asking for.
Definitely.
Yeah. I just hope she doesn't release the Kraken on us. Throwback to our April Fool's article.
Yes.
Hopefully that makes you guys laugh.
Also, I think something that we didn't talk about is that it was going to rise, despite it being frozen, for us, for in-state, you know, California residents, non-state residents will, it's going to rise 8%. So it's still going up for them.
Right.
And that's still, and that's every year. So that's still, in 2 years, that's 16% in tuition. So, I mean, they're not, you know, we're not feeling the brunt of maybe, you know, the worst of it, but it still sucks for other young people outside of the country. I mean, sorry, outside of the country or outside of the state that want to come to the school here. They're going to have to deal with, you know, 8% 1 year, then 8% another year. And then I don't know exactly how long it's going to go on for, but still, like, in 2 years, 16% is a lot of money. Yeah, compared to, you know, taking into account that tuition is still at 12 grand.
Yeah, you know, it's almost like basic economics, like 101. You know, drive the prices up, and, you know, like, over time the customers will go down, because not everyone's going to be cash strapped.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and by everyone I'm referring to the U.S. middle class.
Right.
So definitely not everybody.
Right.
Right. Yeah, it's going to be like end up being a loss for a good amount of people, but hopefully, you know, things will turn out well. You know, you can always hope for the best.
Right.
Just keep the hope and, you know, prepare battle with the Kraken.
Yeah.
Right. All right. So let's move it along to hummus.
Awesome.
Hummus, guys.
Awesome.
Okay. So UCR officials have decided to start selling Sabra hummus again. They'd recently taken it off the shelves. Students for Justice in Palestine are very upset because a reason it was taken off the shelves is because the owner, Strauss Group, they've been very controversial, I guess. In 2010, they came under fire for providing care packages to an Israeli infantry unit. And so just a lot of controversy surrounding them. So Students for Justice in Palestine are naturally pretty upset about it. What do you guys think about it being sold on campus again?
I don't really eat hummus, so
okay.
Yeah, so I can't really say much. I could probably say a little bit more about, I guess, the political background. I actually still have to gather my thoughts on that, so if you want to take it.
Oh, yeah, yeah, sure. I just want to comment just one thing about the article. I really liked the pun in the title.
Oh, right. Oh, cool. Yes.
My gosh.
Israeli hummus brand spreads tension at UCR.
When I read that, I swore. I was like, wait, was that intentional or not?
Oh, yeah.
We're a very punny group at the Highlander.
So, you know, if you guys are really, like, you know, invested in this, like, you know, if you're invested in politics on, like, a highly, like, personal level, then at least we can provide some humor, you know, provide some ease. But for me, at least, I'm not sure. I mean, on the one hand, you know, the school and the administration did kind of flip-flop on this, and... You know, if there's one out of, you know, few things that, like, students or I guess people in general don't like is flip-flopping and politics, you know, and that's why you'll see, you know, out in the news so many people, you know, who are very controversial, who have, like, really bad ideas. A lot of people might like them because, like, oh, they stand for something. So there's obviously that. And then on the other hand, you know, that change could, you know, to some people result in a positive policy or a positive, you know, public outlook from that policy. So it's a very, very divisive issue.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was actually just going to say, like, what do you guys think? Like, how do you think students should approach it? You know, as a, like, should they see the administration as one that's easily pushed by angry voices amongst the population, or do you think they did the right or perhaps the wrong thing?
I think if they were going to decide something like that, they should have stuck with it and not went back to it, because it's kind of like, I know in the article later on it says one of the students who wrote the letter that was sent out by Students for Justice in Palestine said it was like a slap in the face. And I can understand that, like, you win. It's like as if like, oh, tuition's going to be delayed. Oh, just kidding. It's actually, I mean, it doesn't equate that sort of thing. But I still think that, you know, I feel like the administration should have either picked, you know, they should have been a little bit more stringent on, no, we're going to go with this and we're gonna stick it out, instead of flopping back on it. But I do like the fact that it seems now like there's a trend in smarter consumers, and, like, people are more aware politically of what corporations are attached to, and I think that's just a really good trend to have in the population, because people are not just they're not just taking what's given to them. They're actually doing research into the certain companies, because now with globalization and all these things happening, certain companies might not be up to, you know, they might not be looking out for everybody, and I don't think that's their
yeah,
you know, their MO. That's what they're supposed to do. But I think it's cool that that people are starting to be more smarter consumers. Mm-hmm. I guess is my point.
Yeah, because that's probably also one of the worst things to be caught doing. You know, along with perhaps not having a strong foundation and flip-flopping on certain things, is also, you know, to perhaps not be aware of things. You know, like, you don't want to be the kid back in 2005. Or whatever, you know. Oh, I just got my first iPhone. I got these cool, you know, Nike, you know, gear, and then not realize it's made in sweatshops, you know, in the third world.
Yeah.
And then I'm saying this while I'm looking at my iPhone right now. Right. But you know, at least I'm aware of, you know, the cost of that. So I don't know. At least I feel somewhat better. But yeah, like that's totally a very good point. You know, smarter. Actually, you know what? I don't know if that's a term, but if it is, smarter consumerism. I like it.
Yeah. Thanks, dude.
Yeah, it's really interesting when things like this happen, and especially on a college campus, because people do learn a lot and they become more aware. Like, even my roommate, she was like, oh, wow, like, she didn't know, like, that brand, you know, was, I guess, tied to a lot of things like that.
Yeah, and, same here.
Yeah, so, you know, in that way, people are learning. But like you said, it's kind of difficult. You know, that girl said, like, it felt like a slap in the face, and I think it would have been good if... UCR officials, like, if they would have, you know, stuck with what they told people they were going to do. But I guess we'll see. People were saying they're not backing down, you know, they're gonna speak their mind about this.
Yeah. So. If we could you know, perhaps say, like, little, like, what our personal thoughts are on it. I'm you know, like, despite the flip-flopping, I'm at least happy about, you know, people wanting to divest from Israel. And, you know, this is, for those listening, it's purely my thoughts. Doesn't represent, you know, KCR, the paper, or the school. But yeah, last spring, I I wrote an opinion piece about you know, the Israeli Palestinian, you know, conflict, in light of the whole huge ASUCR thing last year, you know, when they're voting right. on divestment, and actually got a letter to the editor, and they thought I was smearing, you know, all Palestinians, which I don't believe I did. But yeah, and then there was that whole thing last summer, and there was, you know, a huge conflict that kind of changed my mind on the whole idea. So, you know, just for me personally, I would at least, you know, be happy or happier with a divestment.
Yeah, same. I would have. It's good that this has been brought to our attention, so that I can be, you know, I can know where to put my money. But yeah, I think that it was a good decision for them to speak out about it. Whether or not it was people felt like it was inappropriate or they were focusing on the wrong thing, I think that something like not buying from a certain company is the least the most powerful thing you can do. Putting your, like, knowing where to put your money and where not to put your money, because mm-hmm. a lot of businesses nowadays, like, I know that McDonald's. Their sales have declined, and that's because in recent light of a lot of things, a lot of controversy surrounding their, you know, ingredients or what have you, and I think that goes to show that, like, people don't really have faith maybe in the middle class, or they don't have faith in consumers, but it goes to show that consumers really do have the power to not make or break a company, but to have meaningful change to you know, their operations and stuff like that.
Right. Yep. Yeah. Yep. And, like, in relation to that, like, I guess it doesn't really have anything to do with hummus, but, like, I'm a vegetarian. So, like, I'm very into the whole, let's save all the animals. Right. And so I'm always, my brothers are like, well, everyone's still going to buy meat. It doesn't matter. But I'm like, you know, it's good if you know what you want to support and what you don't want to support. Mm-hmm. And so that's, you know, a reason why I choose to do it. I think it's important for people to have opinions and know what they want to support. So,
But animals taste so good.
You know what? They do. They do taste good.
I'm sorry. I feel bad.
It's rough sometimes, but yeah. It's just...
I can at least say I oppose, you know, like, you know, I think John Oliver, he did a thing on his show last Sunday, and like, even though it's HBO, it's always put the YouTube, but he did something on the consequences of, like, the farmers, like, market, you know, like, how, like, chickens and other animals are treated. I so should have watched that, but in tangent to that, I'm at least aware of, you know, how badly, like, animals can be treated. And, you know, it's like, right. if you are going to cook, you know, animals and, you know, and whatnot, you know, at least let them live out with some dignity. Because, yeah. You know, yeah. I mean, I know we're going a little off topic, but I guess yeah. That's the ultimate, you know, grace you can give them.
I was just
going
to say,
anyways,
like...
back to hummus.
back to hummus in, like, 5 seconds. So, do you guys remember the Blackfish documentary?
I've heard about it.
SeaWorld is going through such a tough time right now just because of that. I think that's a really good example of people who, like, when they decide they're not going to do something, mm-hmm. like, because of information that they now have, like, it can really impact things. Like, SeaWorld.
Or even, like, again, bringing up that thing with McDonald's, like, Supersize Me. Like, it was proven that a lot of the facts in those, in his documentary were kind of sketchy. Mm-hmm. And he did certain things that McDonald's did, like, in the movie, I think he called them, like, 7 or 8 times. They didn't respond. And then their public reps tried getting back to him, you know, same number of times. He didn't respond either. But, you know, that at least kicked off that whole, you know, 21st century notion of, you know, again, smart consumerism.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are disappointed a little bit by the flip-flopping, you know, in the administration on campus, then you can at least be, I think he's your roommate, Crystal, you know, at least, like, you know, look up and think, well, hey, I'm at least more aware of, like, what sort of companies back which, you know, food names or food brands and what that says about our political affiliations.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, hummus is tasty. and that's all I have to say.
I'm sure I had it once, maybe. I'm not sure.
There is a sandwich in Scotty's that they sell. The garlic and the hummus. It's really good. I had one today.
The garlic filling.
Garlic and hummus sandwich.
Yeah, it's a cucumber. Okay. And,
yes, it has and, like cucumbers, oh, tomatoes.
Okay, I don't like cucumbers, so. Oh, okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
If you're listening, go to Scotty's and get that sandwich. It's really good.
All right, yeah, like when we, you know, when I pick up my paycheck tomorrow, that'll be my lunch.
Yes. Okay, if you're just joining us, you're listening to the Highlander Newsroom, broadcasting on KUCR 88.3 FM, streaming online at KUCR.org, on the KUCR app from the App Store, or the TuneIn app on Android. Okay, so Comedy Apocalypse happened.
Yeah, so out of the three of us here, I'm the only one who went.
You are.
Oh my gosh, it was funny. And, you know, like before it began, I just want to say, you know, like the beginning of this school year, I think one of the first shows, either last quarter or fall quarter or whatever, we had Bad, Bad, Not Good. I forget exactly when they played.
Right.
They
awesome.
Was
October.
It the fall?
You,
yeah.
Did you go?
Yeah, yeah, I did.
Oh, no. I missed it. And awesome. I heard it was awesome. Really,
yeah.
Really
awesome.
Good.
I am usually hit or miss with, like, the music performances at the bar. And it usually depends on if I'm, like, free or not. But yeah, like, you know, the Bad, Bad, Not Good, like, you know, our own managing editor, or I guess past managing editor, Jake Rich. I know it's sad. I'm going to start crying. Please excuse us. I'm just kidding. Yeah, like when he went there, you know, they're crowd surfing and whatnot.
Yeah,
it was just super packed. And I wish we had the same turnout for Comedy Apocalypse, because most of the time, the different Comedy Apocalypse shows are just on point and hilarious. Mm. You know, like I think Robert Leese, he's a new senior staff member to the Highlander. You know, if you check out his article, I think he said something only around like 40 or 50 people. Were like there, or maybe even less, you know. And you know, for all students, you know, and faculty, everybody listening, go to the Comedy Apocalypse shows. They are funny. So, but anyways, yeah, I loved it. There were four people. I loved the first. No, sorry, I loved the last guy, Jimmy Dore. Yeah. He is a member of the internet political commentators, the Young Turks, and they, I mean, I haven't like listened to the stuff in a while, but like regardless of that, he was pretty funny.
Is he pretty popular or?
Yeah, I mean, like the Young Turks in and of themselves are pretty funny and as well as popular, and I think he certainly brought that, because I think when he that was like one of the first things he brought up, you know, like, hey guys, you know, I'm, you know, a member of the Young Turks, or maybe like the announcer said it or something like that, and you know, a lot of people were clapping, and one of the reasons why I liked his, you know, a skit was because his thing, it was like probably the longest, but he had a lot of like political and socio-political humor, and you know, the like the tricky thing about that is if you don't do it right, it can come off really ranty. Like, you know, it could be like an old guy just standing there for 5 minutes, you know, talking about, you know, the economy today. And, you know, you're not going to get any laughs. He didn't do that. He was able to, like, make jokes. Like, you know, he brought up how his brother is, like, you know, anti-Obama. He's, you know, he's like, yeah, my brother, you know, thinks Obama's the, you know, a dictator. And I'm like, wait, I thought we were in Russia or, you know, or something like that. Like, something silly. And, you know, when you're able to bring that silliness to such, like, serious topics, like the political stuff that Jimmy Dore brought up, I think that's really great.
Right, because if you don't do it right, someone's bound to get offended at some point. So.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I think that's certainly the key to producing edgy comedy is, you know, it's, you know, in the delivery and where the laugh is coming from. And then the first person, what's his name?
I think if... usually doesn't Comedy Apocalypse have a pretty good turnout, though? I mean, have you gone to any of the...
I haven't gone to any of them.
You haven't?
No,
okay.
I haven't.
Yeah, I actually haven't either, and I always hear about how good they are, but I always thought that they had a pretty good turnout. Maybe this was just one of the exceptions, but, I mean...
I can't find his name in the article, but the first guy, he looked closer to, you know, around our age, maybe in his like early, or sorry, not early, like maybe mid to late 20s. I don't know. Robert, in his article, he both said it in person after we left, and in his article, he mentioned that this guy was the funniest. Like, you know, he was very deadpan. He was like, you know, said very funny, serious things while like not acting outrageous. To me, like, I don't think it worked because, you know, and that's another form of comedy that can be tricky to pull off, deadpan. You know, like if you don't do deadpan correctly, it's either going to be awkward or maybe like someone will just think you're serious, you know?
Yeah.
Like the one instance where I think that actually worked in the history of humor was the classic 1980 movie Airplane, where Leslie Nelson, he's like that's a comedy. And the thing is, the humor, you know, from his character comes from him deadpanning it, and he played everything serious, like not for funny, but actually serious. So, you know, there's definitely a trick to that. And then the next person, her name is Jackie Cashian. I'm sorry if I get the name wrong, but she was really funny too. Her humor was really edgy, just like Jimmy Dore's, to the point where a lot of her humor I can't really say on air.
Yeah.
As well as the other guy, Henry Phillips. His thing was pretty cool. It reminded me a little bit of Bo Burnham, like, you know, Henry Phillips. He brought out a guitar, you know, towards the end, and he was like singing and, you know, playing these like funny songs that were like ironic, and mm-hmm. So it was very much reminded me a lot of a Bo Burnham, you know, that mix of a comedy and music, mm-hmm. which you know,
it can be funny.
It can be, but again, I know it's the third time I've said it, but again, you know, it's one of those things where it's like you gotta do it right.
You have to do it right.
Like edgy humor, deadpan, and funny music. You got to do it right, or it just comes off as just not funny or wrong. But
so, well, hopefully next time, you know, comedy apocalypse happens.
Yeah,
more people will come.
It was really funny. I hope students come out. It's certainly one of the highlights of going to barn shows. You know, like doing things at the barn.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, guys. Well, this has been the Highlander Newsroom on KUCR 88.3 FM. The Newsroom is a co-production of the Highlander Newspaper and KUCR. The opinions expressed on today's show belong solely to their owners and do not represent KUCR, the Highlander, or the Associated Students. Special thanks to Louis Vandenberg, Monica Taylor, Eddie Valencia, Elliot Fong, Tina Bold, and Alex Hill. Okay, sign offs.
You know, just be cool, Riverside. You know, just take it easy and survive the last few weeks of the quarter. Summer's, like, really close. Just hang in there.
Yes.
Good luck on midterms. Be a smarter consumer. Consume lots of hummus as long as it's of your political affiliations. And, yeah. Thanks
and
for having me.
All right. I'm just going to say get some sleep because I feel like I haven't slept in like 3 days and I'm about to pass out. So
oh, no.
Even if you're studying, get some sleep, guys. All right.